My friends, the subject for study, Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages, a series of lessons on Christ, the Son of God. Now, hear the word of the Lord from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. From this text we have chosen the subject, Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. The apostle in this revelation declared of the Israelites, who were faithful and loyal to their leader Moses, in their obedience to his commands, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the immovable rock of all the ages, the smitten rock from which flows the water of life. A mighty and solid rock is he. As the Rock of Ages, Jesus is recognized as an immutable character with life-giving and cleansing power, and as an impregnable fortress and refuge for all who have faith in God. He is the rock that is higher than I, the great rock in a weary land, the Rock of Ages, cleft for me. As the Rock of Ages, Jesus our Lord is the eternal and immovable foundation rock, a cornerstone upon which his church was built. According to Matthew 16, 17, and 18, after the Apostle Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, our Lord declared, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "What other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ?" The apostles and prophets, according to Ephesians 2:20, form the constructive foundation of Christ's church. But Christ, the mighty rock of all the ages, is the great cornerstone and divine foundation upon which the whole building, constructive foundation and all, fitly framed together, is built. From him as the chief cornerstone comes the beauty, strength, and unity of this great immovable structure. So solid and secure is this foundation that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ, the mighty rock of our salvation, has withstood the attacks of every conceivable human power. The infidels have over and over again manned their infidel battery, representing their very best artillery of the ages. Their big guns have been manned by the Ingersolls, the Tom Paines, the Humes, the Voltaires, and others, while the Spencers and the Huxleys and the Darwins and the John Stuart Mills and others headed a mad crowd shouting contempt for the mighty fortress, boasted of their supposed work of demolition. But, my friends, this insignificant battery of worms fizzled out into less than nothingness. Those infidel leaders displayed themselves before the world as assaulting the mighty fortress of God with their little pop guns. Yes, Jesus Christ is the rock of the ages. The thunders and the lightnings of the centuries have harmlessly played against the summit of Mount Blanc. So will the infidels and skeptics who have foolishly displayed their ignorance and weakness against the Rock of Ages. The storms have raged for centuries, but the hills and the mountains remain immutable and unshaken. The clouds and the tempests come and go, but there they stand as before. And so Christ, the eternal Rock of Ages, comes out brighter, more exalted, and stronger with every conflict with error and falsehood. When necessary, God has always raised up leaders to fulfill his purpose. God's chosen leaders trusted him and were guided by his counsel. This was true of Christ, the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the inspired author declared, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. On being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." The world today needs to recognize Jesus Christ as the rock of our salvation, God's only leader with the message of salvation to all men of earth, and how this world today needs leadership. There are two kinds of leadership, not of God. One, those who imagine that God could not get along without them. Secondly, those self-appointed leaders who wrap themselves up in a bundle of fickle ideas about religion or politics, in the name of Christ sometimes and set out to build for themselves a religion of their own as though they were defending the Rock of Ages. We thank God that the mighty Rock of our salvation will stand regardless of those who may presume to destroy it or defend it. The infidels and critics are but little worms, and all the powers of hell itself cannot chip even a fragment from the Rock of Ages. Yes, it is pitiful for man to presume that God could not get along without him, and that he must make himself known as the champion defender of the Rock of Ages. Such a person evidently has come to think that he is the fortress for the rock, instead of the rock being his fortress and salvation. We need to learn that as none holy is the Lord, for that is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. Truly we need more Christian soldiers to stand up to our rock in offense and defense. But my friends, I tell you, are you listening? We need more the protection of the Rock of Ages than the rock needs us. We are constantly pleading with men and women to everywhere to become Christians. Yes, the church needs you and need you badly. But hear it, I say, are you listening? Something you must not forget. You need the church. You need Christ, the mighty rock of your salvation, much worse than the church needs you. Without Christ, you're lost. Your need for Christ is so evident. You need Christ and his church as a solid rock of your hope and salvation. But perhaps someone is thinking, I need Christ as my rock and refuge, but not the church. Why the church? Let us pause for meditation on this question. If Christ is the rock, the cornerstone of the foundation in his church, which is affirmed by the inspired apostle already quoted, how then could one claim Christ as his refuge and rock of salvation without being in the Lord's church? Peter said to Jesus, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Christ declared, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that is, upon the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of God, I will build my church. To deny that the church is equally our rock and refuge and salvation is to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the rock foundation of the church. Christ is our rock from which we drink the water of life, our refuge and our Savior. But it must be remembered that Jesus, through the inspired Apostle Paul, declared that he is the Savior of his body, which is the church. Hear him as he wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 23. For as the husband is the head of the wife, so is Christ also the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. In verse 22 of the first chapter of this same letter, Ephesians, the same apostle declared that the body is the church. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, the same writer emphasized that there is one body. Now if the apostle concluded that the church is the body of Christ, and that he did, and Christ is the Savior of the body, which he did affirm, then how could one be saved by Christ unless he were a part of the body of Christ and a member of the Lord's church? These are inevitable conclusions. The enemies of the church of our Lord must know that this rock of ages is also a rock of offense. Listen to the warning of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For you therefore that believe is the preciousness. But for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble at the word, being disobedient. Yes, it is true. This great rock has become the stumbling object for thousands of travelers along the way of life. It is offensive to those who do not seek its protection. It is likewise destructive to those who refuse its refuge. Truly this mighty rock is the rock of offense to those who refuse to subjugate their will to the Lord's will. Christ and his church is offensive to those who refuse to obey the gospel. Most of the people of this old world today do not have time for this thing called Christianity. They sneer at the rock, ridicule those who stand by its immovable position, and even have the audacity to claim that they do not need the Christ, this rock of salvation. But all my friends, how badly mistaken they are. And let me tell you, you will have another thought coming someday if that's your idea. The God of heaven tells us that on whomsoever stumble or whosoever stumbles or falls upon this rock shall be broken in pieces, and upon whomsoever this rock shall fall, he shall be ground into powder. The day will come when you will plead for the protection and security of the rock. But all hope is gone, and you view the mighty power and strength of this rock of the ages, but to no avail to you. And you, with all the wicked of all the ages, will cry in the great and notable day for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon you and hide you from the face of an avenging God. It will be too late then. Even if all the rocks and the mountains of the earth should fall upon you, you cannot be hidden from the all-seeing eye of an infinite God. All will stand in judgment before God in that day, and none will get by. At the judgment, this rock of all the ages will fall upon the disobedient and ungodly, not to hide, but to crush the broken and rebellious spirits in the misery of an everlasting perdition. Yes, we have seen the crushed spirits of this life. We have seen the discouraged. We have seen the wolves smite the unfortunate. But I tell you, beloved, and I say, are you listening? You cannot yet thoroughly conceive of the mighty crushing wretchedness and despair of an eternal and unmitigated hell. Then will be the cry of the perishing millions, deliver us from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, the terrible and awful catastrophe of a lost soul, lost eternally in hell. Yet the rock of the ages stood throughout the ages for refuge for all who would seek its salvation. Will you not come to this rock of refuge for salvation? It was Jesus our Lord who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It was he, the Christ, who offered unto man the opportunity to obtain remission of sins by virtue of his atoning blood. Before he died, he said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And on that memorable day, the first time the gospel was preached, offering remission of sins in the name of the Lord, this mighty rock of salvation, the refuge for the souls of men, the inspired Apostle Peter declared, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every child of God, therefore, has the obligation to live a faithful, consecrated Christian life, seeking the refuge of the rock of salvation. Listen to these words of our Master when he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? No, my friends, it need not be true with you. Let us come to Christ and his church for our salvation. Believe and obey every command. Let us all join together in one great chorus. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin and double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyelids close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.